We have Jake Gardner, the Mr. de Bretagne. I guess one of the sort of the villains of the piece. I guess the piece has a villain. And Jonas Kaufman, our tenor, the Chevalier de Grieux.
Hello.
I understand you had a good show tonight with a good audience.
Yes, I really have to say. No, we're very happy. The audience was very warm and welcomed us, and like it should be on a Saturday evening. But
<That's>
no, we had fun.
Well,
absolutely.
Good. And I'm sure the audience did too. That was more to the point, I guess.
Oh, boy, did they. Yeah, they had a great time.
It's a terrific production. I must say, I think this cast, we talked about this, this cast is so perfectly balanced from top to bottom. Wonderful conducting in the pit, the beautiful production, and I think the high level of French, Emmanuel, you could speak to that, I suppose. It seems the French is very good.
Yeah, we worked very, very hard on the French, and it's not because we knew that the people in Chicago all speak French fluently, but I think even if
most of them,
but if you don't speak, you know, if you don't speak the language, you understand when it's right and when it's wrong. It gives a flavor that's going to make it sound totally authentic. And so we had a French coach for this. I worked on it, and I must say, everybody was a very good sport about it, because sometimes it's a little annoying.
You know? Yeah. Why are you looking at me?
We're on the radio. He can't tell.
Yeah. You got it right. You got it right. But it's very important. I mean, it should be. It should. Any French in the audience should understand every single word.
Jonas, this is the first time you've sung this role. Now,
exactly.
You're enjoying it, aren't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, I have to say, I love most of the French repertory just because they have such a variety in vocal challenges, let's put it that way, in each part. It's not written like, let's say, if you have a Verdi, it's the same type of tenor from the very beginning to the end. But where in the French repertoire, it always changes. They always demand for at least two or three different vocal types. And that gives you really a chance to show off and try to give
so that's
all
what
the
you're doing. You're showing off.
Ah. Well, I think that's what we all paid for. Thank God.
I love it when Laurence Olivier was asked why he became an actor. He went very close to someone's face and he said, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." I suppose that's what drives all of you folks here at the table.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
Somehow.
Choir singer so conceited. Me.
This is such a wonderful musical dramatic production too. I mean, the music and the drama are so closely knitted. That's one of the things that makes it so powerful. Of course, Mr. Kaufman, you have to do a little rolling around the stage in this production, which might be kind of fun.
Yeah, it is. I mean, especially with that partner. I mean, an absolute dream come true. She's the perfect match for this 16-year-old girl. And I'm even having fun carrying her around all day long, all evening long. So that says something, I'd say.
It is remarkable, as we were talking earlier, when it all works, there's really nothing quite like it. It really all does work in this production. We have four more performances left, and I hope that those of you who haven't seen it will get a ticket. You could go online right now and order a ticket at lyricopera.org, or you could call the ticket office on Monday at 312-332-2244. And while I'm coming out with numbers, let me say that there's 20 minutes left in which you could make a pledge to this our operathon, and that number is 1-888-726-5600. So give us a call or go online. Did I say something wrong? Five. Okay, let me do that again because it's been a long day. 1-888-726-5700. How did I do? Is that okay?
Okay, thank you. I wonder for each of you, is there a moment or a scene in this opera that especially is wonderful for you that you feel very strong about, particularly that's especially inspiring, some moment in this opera that you really love particularly? Mr. Kaufman?
Oh, well, I think there are several. I mean, there's not only one. I mean, there are some. Of course, most of us would say it's Saint-Sulpice, this scene 3-2 in the church when Manon is trying to convince, and actually she does, succeed in holding him back for becoming a priest and being locked away from her and other women for the rest of his life. And she does that pretty well, and I have to say it comes very natural, his his decision.
Very good. How about for the conductor?
Well, there is a lot of variety in the piece, and it shifts from one atmosphere and one mood to the other. But of course, you know, Saint-Sulpice is amazing. I must say, the end of the second act, when you know you are two of the best arias of the French repertoire coming up, and not the Petite Table aria with Manon, who is alone and knows she's somehow betraying her lover, and she's saying goodbye to that little small table where they were just very simply being next to each other. And there is a moment that is incredibly simple and intense there. And when you arrive just before that aria, you know, you have that aria, and then you have the next aria, which is The Dream of Des Grieux, sung absolutely stunningly by Jonas, who is probably the person in the world nowadays who can sing that the best, very simply. And so when you know you have those two arias, you're just very happy. And you actually feel the orchestra also. Everybody gets, here is the moment that's coming. I love the when Daddy comes also in the gambling scene, and there is a big concertato, a big ensemble where everybody is singing, and it's kind of very grand and passionate, and purely musically this is a nice moment. But this is the kind of piece that's so well written and so rich that every performance of the student, there is a little corner, there is a little bridge musically, they'll say, here there is an interesting idea, maybe we can develop that, and you discover new things that are absolutely stunning. So and the piece is strong enough to somehow let you all of a sudden decide to give a little more importance to one moment than another, and it can be different according every night, the way you feel. But each act builds up magnificently, you know, till the end.
Raymond Acheco, I think I know your favorite moment in the opera, that aria, that big scene.
When you're done?
Mm-hmm. Actually, Norman, when you're done. Mon ami. Actually, yeah, it is my favorite, but surprisingly enough, it's not actually a musical moment. My favorite moment for me is right after I sing my aria, and Jonas and I have a really dramatic dialogue, in which I basically, after in my aria, trying to convince him, come on, you know, marry the right girl, do us all proud like you're supposed to. And he says, no. And I said, there's no way you can change your mind. He says, no. And I write him off, and I completely disown him pretty much. But, I mean, it's one of my favorites because of the dramatics of it. You know, as singers, we always are musical singing first. And it's just a moment where it's nothing but dialogue. It's beautifully underscored. But it's a great acting moment. It just gives me a chance to do something that's not vocal, not musical. It's just we don't get a lot of those as singers.
How about for Lescaut?
I have two. My favorite two are Act Two, ironically. I love the pacing of Act Two. I think that the way it was composed really lends itself to grabbing your attention right at the beginning, from the very moment the baton goes down to the ictus and pulls you through. I love Act Two for that, and I love Act Four for the same reason. It grabs your attention right at the beginning and pulls you through to the very, very end. He was a master in composing this way, as many of the greats were, but in this piece in particular, those two are my favorite moments.
How about Monsieur Bretigny?
Mine, I think, is one when Natalie sings the Gavotte, and as it's staged in this production, she sort of directs it all towards me, and I'm having a very proud moment as Bretigny, and I really enjoy connecting with her in that moment.
Yeah, actually, tonight I did one thing, which is, I mean, sometimes you do, when the audience applauds as a conductor, sometimes you applaud also the singer on stage, and I applaud in the direction of of Natalie, and she was looking, you know, toward the other, not the audience, the back of the stage, and you were there,
yeah.
And all of a sudden you took the applause for you. So somehow,
did I?
The applause at the end of the aria,
maybe
you
that's
were
why
smiling
I
like it was, you had done it all. You know?
He did,
of course.
But that's interesting. Sometimes the people reacting on stage, the reaction means as much as the action and the singing. And when you get a performance like this where everybody is so committed to the theatrical elements of it and everybody on stage, and this is a production that's so beautifully directed that everybody, the chorus, the ballet, the actors, there's a sense of everybody being totally in the moment at all times, and that's what makes it such a thrilling, dramatic as well as a musical experience.
Yeah, right. It's an improvisation every performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. I mean,
within certain
boundaries.
Yeah. Well, that's how it should be. I mean,
yeah.
Actually. That's really the dream come true of having the basics and let's say the fundamental blocking. Everybody knows where he enters and where he exits, and the rest is play. Everyone tries to slip into his character, and the rest is something that naturally develops while we are on stage.
Well, sometimes it happens because something goes amiss. Now, the other performance the other night, well, that was it, that, if it was a matinee the other night, at the end of the Sans Soupir scene, Natalie is supposed to run over,
yeah,
and stop you from leaving.
Very, very funny. Yeah.
And she couldn't because...
Her heel got stuck in I don't know, something under her skirt, so she was kneeling on the floor, and instead of blocking me, of going away, I realized she's not following me. What's going on? So I turn around and I see her eyes almost popping out of her eyes, like, please help me. So I really said that was mercy that time that helped me back. And on.
And I'm sitting here watching and feeling, oh my God, she's broken her leg or something. She can't get up. So I went back, rushed backstage, and was very happy to find out it was only the heel of the skirt.
Yeah, yeah. We got nailed down,
yeah,
on that spot till the
yeah,
curtain came down.
But that's what makes it so exciting.
Exactly.
Too, when you can when you can take that moment and then turn it into something that still works dramatically. And I think everybody in this cast is capable of doing it, and that's what makes it exciting to watch. 1-888-726-5700. You've got 13 minutes to call. Please do.
Literally the waning moments of our operathon.
Briefly, what's next for each of you? Mr. Coughlin.
After this, I'm going directly to Paris. I'm going to do in Garnier opera there, a new production of Fidelio and Florestan. So this is pretty much the next 2 months, apart from having many concerts and recitals and things like that, squeezed in between.
I have a Sharpless and a Butterfly at the Florida Grand.
I have Pearl Fishers in Seattle Opera.
I have a Carmen in Los Angeles, and with a very good cameo, I'm heard.
And I also have a Carmen in Los Angeles with an amazing conductor.
On that note, I think we should let these gentlemen go, and we, with grateful thanks, not only for your appearance here, but for the magnificent performance you give us, the really enriching performance you're bringing us at Mano. So
thank you.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.